May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God. First in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, and reading the first 11 verses, and then reading John chapter 3. Numbers chapter 21, the first 11 verses. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and their soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Cry unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Ijeri-Barim, in the wilderness which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. Let us also read, friends, in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Those first 17 verses, friends, I should have said. And oh, may we now be granted a spirit of prayer. I felt as we were singing, friends, there's so much in that hymn, all of prayer that we each need. May the Lord give us prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we beg of thee, do make us each to feel our need in such a way as dear Newton did. Oh, we beg of thee, dear Lord, do hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. And oh, as we feel we have to come before thee, confessing our sins, Lord, how we feel and felt it. We're guilty of murmuring just like the children of Israel were, even over many things, and yet thou loadest our path with benefits. Oh, Lord, we beg of thee as we feel the solemnity of our sinning. Oh, Lord, and how as those there in the wilderness were serpent bitten. Lord, it wasn't just the bite, it was the venom, oh, that entered into the flesh and veins of those bitten. And Lord, thou knowest our trouble is that sin and iniquity fills our veins, as it were. We cannot, Lord, do anything regarding our healing. We must look, Lord, as the teaching in the word is, away from ourselves to thyself. And Lord, as our friend in prayer mentioned, we do need, Lord, to look to thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg that we may so come with our solemn confessions here this day and plead the precious name and blood and righteousness of Jesus, thy dear, well-beloved Son. O God, our Father in heaven, do hear us as we plead the precious name of Jesus. O Lord, how we sing of it, Lord, the name thou the Father loves, to hear thy children plead. Prove that we are children of God, Lord, by coming this day and by the operation of the Spirit. Oh, do so affect us under thy holy love and favour. Oh, may we know the power of the love of God. Oh, the love of God, the love of Christ to sinners. This is what we desire to know and feel, Lord, here today. Oh, thy living family do desire it, do seek it. And Lord, we do pray if there are any still here in the darkness of nature, not concerned about their never dying souls. Oh, may it be thy appointed day to begin to solemnly convict and convince them of their solemn state. Lord, oh, do come then and work here today for the blessing of souls. Lord, as we seek it, Lord, thou knowest our heart, that thou hast given us to pray and desire, that in thy blessing souls, Lord, thou wilt get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee, our triune God. Oh, we beg that we may be in the theme of wonderful favour of praise to our God today, our triune Jehovah we praise, in essence eternally one. Lord, thou, that one God, God over all, the great God, Jehovah, the living God, we meet for the purpose of thy praise, Lord, thy glory today. May there be wonderfully felt here today that wonderful favour of thy presence, and Lord, that we may be praising thee as from hearts made submissive and meek, resigned to thee, to know thy will, to know thy favour, Lord. Oh, that which thou hast sovereignly appointed for us today may be blessedly known and felt. Oh, Lord, we seek for this. We might be led in that way in preaching before the dear friends here that thou hast given us. Oh, so poor we are, Lord, so small, but thou hast given us a love to them. And, Lord, to their souls, our burden is for their souls, that they may be blessed indeed. Lord, thou knowest each one's providential pathway, for thou art the God of providence and grace. And we have pondered over them, thinking of them one and another in their pathways, Lord, though we do not know much detail of them. But, Lord, thou knowest in those things we know of our friends. We know, Lord, that each of thy people will be brought to know and feel more and more that they are in a wilderness journey, that this world is not their home. Though thou giveth thy people those things to be involved in their daily calling, yet, Lord, as we have said to John, thinking of his driving up and down the land and thinking of how we did some of this in a few years, the favour when thou dost come, when thou dost come and be, as it were, in the in the vehicle with us, in the cab. And Lord, oh, whatever the sphere of thy people, thou knowest their pathways. Oh Lord, a personal favour of thy reality of coming to them is what we ponder, Lord. But if there were any here who had a barren week and feel barren and far off, oh, I beg thee, Lord, do come to them. Favour them, Lord, that they may be, if they are in a state of ease or neglectfulness, stirred up by thy power, by the Holy Spirit's influence. Oh, Lord, what solemn words they are, which question our case and state. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? O Lord, thou knowest what is needed in thy people, each one individually, their case is known to thee. Do come, Lord, and suit thy blessing to each case. Oh, thou knowest recently we were speaking regarding the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Lord, how we felt then and feel now a need to consider all thy blessings, all what thou hast favoured us to know and experience. And Lord, that solemn time in our pathways, individual souls will reflect upon it, when they were brought into soul trouble, but what a great blessing it was to be brought into soul trouble, to be brought into solemn experience of thy law applied to us, condemning us. Oh, what blessing it was. Because, Lord, here we have proved and can acknowledge, some of us, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Oh, may each of the friends be favoured to reflect upon their past experiences, Lord. For they have said, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And Lord, may that word be so applied, and thy people be in the favour of it, remembering that also, Lord, that which is under thy solemn dealings, teachings, thy confirming, thy giving, that favour of remembrance, the sweet remembrance of the Blessed Spirit, testifying of Christ and bringing to remembrance to God's people all those things of past experience. And Lord, for that testing, for that proving, to know what was in thine heart, what is in thine heart, and whether thou wilt keep my commandments or no. Oh, may precious souls be searched out in this respect, with respect to this, whether thou wilt keep my commandments or no. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we seek thy glory. We seek to show and give that proof of our love to thee. For Lord, if thou hast so loved us, which we stand amazed of, and thou wonderfully maketh thy love divinely known in experience of thy dear people being brought to know and taste redeeming love, and then, Lord, how solemn, if we do not show the reality of proof of our love. O Lord, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Lord, may many be brought to lay this to heart, as they should. Lord, thou knowest, and we may continue to, those of us who have been led those ways following our Lord, But, oh, we would follow thee fully. We would continue, Lord, to deny self, daily to take up our cross and follow thee. We confess, Lord, all our shortcomings. We pray for more grace. We pray for thy keeping. Oh, we pray that we might keep us in exercise. We might not be caught with the trifles of this world, that the things of materialism might not so take up our time that we forget thee, we neglect thee. Oh, Lord, we beg, do give grace and enable us to live to thy praise. Oh, we pray for self-denial. We cannot command it ourselves, but we beg thee, grant it. And so we pray for our friends in all these ways. Do bless them, Lord. Command thy blessing here today. May we be sweetly in union, for it is when thy people are in union, when then that is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard went down to the skirts of his garment, and on the little hills, and there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So may we be each humbled, especially humbled under a sense of thy gracious presence with us. And Lord, that there will come on the blessing. For there are those that are seeking, Lord, a blessing. Are there those that are waiting upon thee, begging of thee for the pardon of their sins, begging of thee to know that they are their Lord, their all, wanting to be confirmed, Lord, to be assured. Assure me of my part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness with my heart, I am born of God. O Lord, thou knowest what each one needs. Do command the blessing, suit that blessing to each case, Lord. We believe this is thy purpose, so to do work in Zion, in thy people, and to form a people for thy praise. So, Lord, do come today in this way, in these ways of thy favour. We pray for our friends, each of them, remembering those in affliction. One in the home, Lord, we think of her and remember her. We pray for any that have their afflictions and infirmities, Lord. Oh, do grant that healing, that restoring. We remember, Lord, the dear young people, young men and women, children here, Lord. We thank thee for the children born in the households of thy people. Dear husbands, fathers, seeing their children as olive plants round about their table. Thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. May that wonderful reality be truly felt and known, the favour of being in the fear of the Lord for fathers and mothers, and they might see these favours, Lord, in their families. Bless the children, bless the young people. O Lord, thou knowest those who are by thee, by thy leading, we trust, entered into relationships. And those that are coming toward the time of being joined together in holy matrimony. Oh, marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But warmongers and adulterers God will judge. And so, Lord, we do look with that thankfulness and admiration according to thy will, thy commands, Lord. Do bless those and bring them, join them together by thee. May they know their marriage is made in heaven. Those that have walked this way, continue to bless and favour them, Lord. Oh, Lord, do so. Grant that feeling of thy divine approval in these in the families and in the walking in the ways of thy word, what there was set forth in thy word. It is very sad, solemn, when it's not so. Oh, we pray, Lord, thou knowest over many cases, many we have in our heart to pray for. We know, Lord, thou art able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. And Lord, we pray that we'll stop those that have gone their way, vile rebels that have gone their way, headlong urging their mad career to bring them back. You know, with those we carry, Lord, we're burdened for, and some, Lord, that have entered into great trouble through their folly, and there they've lived and done much wrong. Lord, we think of friends in this respect who have such. Lord, thou knowest all that we have in our heart to pray for day by day. Oh, Lord, that thou wilt look in mercy upon the families of thy people and bless them. We remember and pray for all our friends, and many thou hast given us as friends up and down across the land. Oh, more the little hills of Zion we know and love. And thy people gathered as they gather, Lord, in that way they were said, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We do get concerned, Lord, about if there are those who are not regular in their attendance of their means of grace. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, do so stir up and give diligence in this way. Oh, that there might be more of that real witness, if souls saying, I love the gates, I love the road. The church adorned of God stands like a palace built for God to show his milder face. No, to see thy face, Lord, by faith. Oh, to know thee and love thee. To love thee, Lord, because of thy great love to us. So bless the friends here and there and up and down across the land throughout the world. Oh, may this day the gathering of the people be unto thee. And oh, may there be much in praise, honour and glory ascending to thee. We pray for our country, Lord. We have much to solemnly feel of deep grief over, Lord, as we have sown to the wind and are reaping a whirlwind. Oh, the treachery of the idea of having another election, Lord, that seems to have been so shown now. But oh, we pray for our Prime Minister. Oh, we pray, Lord, for our Members of Parliament. We pray first, Lord, realising, knowing they have a never-dying soul. Oh, Lord, as they're sinners, if they know it, make them know it, Lord. No, make them become, if it be thy will, concerned about their souls. No, that they might be made to be able to govern and enact those laws, Lord, and especially for thee bringing us out of the European Union. Thou knowest all the issues of this day, this time, and these years now before us, if we're spared. Oh, as a country, Lord, we know terrible things are taking place in the world. We do beg thee, save us from dreadful slavish fear of these. Oh, may thy people be granted faith to live, not being left to their hearts failing for fear. But oh, we pray for our homeland, England, Lord, still look in mercy upon it. In wrath, remember mercy. We pray for Her Majesty the Queen in her old age. O Lord, do bless her. And O Lord, do now hear us as we would leave all natural things at the foot of the man. Do come, Lord, as we seek to look into thy word here this day. We beg thee, help us. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 389. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
The Lord may help me here this morning, friends. I would direct you to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, and the words that we have read, the 14th verse, the 14th and 15th verses. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We each, I trust, know and can, as it were, as enabled, reflect upon what we read for the first part of the reading this morning in Numbers. Oh, how those the people then were bitten by the serpents. God sent fiery serpents, and they bit the children of Israel, and many died. I want to ask a question here this morning, friends. Are you serpent bitten? Are you in like way? You see, it wasn't the bite, actually. It was the venom in the bite. The bite was the afflicting of it, but it was the venom that caused them to die. Do you realise that you've got this venom in you? We're all serpent bitten, actually, in the sense, according to original sin. But we don't realise it because we are dead in trespasses and sins as we're born. But we are actually filled with that venom through original sin. We're all sinners, friends. We're all deservers of being cast away into hell by a holy, holy, holy God. Do you know it? Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned about the fact that you're such a sinner that God cannot accept in your state of sin? If we live and die in the state of as possession and having this venom filling our veins, which we all have, because remember, our sin entered in death by sin. And so that all the posterity of Adam were born in sin and shame and in iniquity, that includes every one of humanity. And God says the wages of sin is death. Oh, God said that thus sin entered and death by sin. And that means eternal death and damnation, really. That's what the hell of humanity deserve. Are we brought by God to be aware of this? Are we brought by God to be aware of our solemn state and condition? That there is no merit in us that we should ever be worthy of heaven. We're only worthy of hell by nature. You know, I believe the way God works is to bring his people to know, to begin to feel the pain of this serpent biting, of this venom being introduced into their veins as it was actually originally, and also it will be actually. Your daily lives and mine, friends, do we get serpent bitten? Does this dire contagion increase more and more in us? Do we more and more have to feel the pain of it? But in a wonderful sense, if God is beginning to make you feel the pain of it, and now you know it will be the means of your damnation if it's not dealt with. Oh, there is evidence, if you feel that, that God is so beginning to bring you into the wonderful side of his truth, the wonderful things that he has a purpose to bless those he loves to know. Oh, is it a daily solemn concern to you regarding your sin, regarding your sinnership, regarding the depravity of your natural wicked heart, regarding how you are? Has God made you so to feel these solemn bitings, these solemn afflictions, that caused so many to die of the children of Israel? That's the figure that was actually, but it's recorded in the Word of God. And God knew all about his people that would live through those days of the Old Testament dispensation. And those his people would be born and be in the days, living their lives in gospel day. But oh, as we sing, friends, it's always to be known in some solemn depth and measure that every one of God's people are taught sin's demerit. they're all brought to know what they are in this way and how they need the remedy, they need the cure, they need the antidote. Oh, to grasp Christ in our arms, the antidote of death, that's what we need, friends. And for this we must be brought to look to him, to look to him as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I've come to you today, I believe God so anointed me to come to you today to lift up a precious Christ, to preach Christ crucified, to preach Christ to you, who I hope God is solemnly well convicting and convincing you of your sin, making you feel the malady of it, the reality of it, the pain of it. Oh, wonderful if you can say, convinced as a sinner. To Jesus I fly, informed by the gospel, for such there's room. Can you say it? Is it true? Is this the reality of how you are? Come into the house of God today. For we sing a sacred sweet theme, sinner, precious Jesus, friend of sinners. And oh, we as such to thee draw near, do we? Do we need to? Are we concerned that we might have release from this great burden of guilt, this solemn trouble, this leprosy of sin? You know how it was, I mentioned it before to you, you know how it was that those that were lepers, especially in the day of Christ, and of course all through the times of the people of God on earth, it was a rule in Israel that if anyone had leprosy, they had to keep crying out, unclean, unclean, so that people didn't go near them. Well, in a different way today, but a way of reality, this is what you have to do to God, cry out to God, unclean. Not to warn God to not come near you, but that you might confess your sin. Confess, oh, that we may confess our sin and God's free grace implore. It's been a wonderful word to me over many, many years from my early days that John gives statement of in his epistle, his first epistle, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, where are you, friends? See, you've got to know and feel them. Feel the pain and guilt of them. You've got to know that you are in that great danger of eternal damnation because of your sin. Well, then to confess them by the grace of God. God works by the Spirit in his people to bring his people into confession of sin. That's exactly what it was with those children of Israel, you see. You know what we've read. You know they were murmuring, they were complaining. And people might naturally say where they got reason to. But friends, God had wonderfully brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea. They was on that passage of journey along the Red Sea coast, as it were, quite close to it, to Mount Hor. And they were then in a state almost of famine, but God provided them the manna. They got little water, but they were provided enough, but they were complaining. Can you consider this in your life, in your pathway? And so solemnly, easily, through the dictates of our old nature, we so easily complain with blessings in our hand. They got some blessings still, you know. You might think, well, they hadn't got much in the wilderness. They hadn't got much in that arid area. But they got enough. God was keeping them alive. Neither did their shoes wear out. You know, there's a lot of points you can consider if you read the record of them, what God did for them. They were murmuring. They were complaining. Are there any of these kind of complainers here today? Have you been complaining? Have you been murmuring against God? Have you been in such a state which is close to rebellion in a way? Rebelling against God's will? For it's a fact, friends, that if we're children of God, we're in the place and path of God's will. And if we murmur, complain in it, you see, it was God's will they should be in the wilderness. It's God's will if you're in the wilderness as you feel it today. It's not by chance, it's appointed for you. Oh, one said, a rough and thorny path we tread in hopes to see his face. And there, in that way, the hymn writer acknowledged the will of God. And oh, friends, we're all here present before God, according to the will of God. And so, friends, if you be murmuring, complaining, and I'm not trying to highlight your sin more than mine, for I get into these sad places and this sad state, murmuring, complaining. You see, they sinned against God. They're sinning against God. Sinning against a loving, kind, and gracious God. Think of how kind God was to release them by the means of Moses leading them out of Egypt. Oh, how we have so much to reflect on. God's favour to us. The favour that we're not where we once were. And if you feel that you're not in that place of complete darkness of nature where you once were, but God's brought you out of that place and state, like the Lord had been saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you say, have you got evidence you've been born again? You're a concerned soul. But you see, yes, we can't keep ourselves. We can't just say that to make excuse, though. But that's the reality of what will be much in our own solemn confessions as God by the Spirit makes us feel it. We can't keep ourselves, so wonderfully God gives us to look away from ourselves. But just a bit more to reflect upon how the children of Israel sinned in that way, but and murmured in that way. But then when they were serpent bitten, they realised what they'd done. Is it like that with you? Something has come to cause you to know what you have done. You see, when they were serpent bitten, they realised, and they said, we have said to Moses, we have sinned against God. Oh, how they knew it, my solemn experience. They sinned against God. They confessed it. And they asked Moses to pray to God. To pray to God that God would have mercy on them. And Moses prayed in a wonderful way. He was one to intercede, as it were, for them, to God, betwixt them and God. And God heard him, and he commanded him to make the serpent of brass and to set it on a pole. And that serpent of brass was, of course, a wonderful figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that they were commanded to look to that serpent of brass. Moses lifted up the serpent of brass in the wilderness, and all those that looked lived. We have the theme in that sweet sacred hymn, and it finishes like this: dying sinner, look and live. Oh, wonderful favour, if you by faith can look to the Lord Jesus today, God giving you the enabling by faith. You're a dying sinner, you feel it, you know it. You're a guilty sinner. But look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the Son of God, especially as he's done all by suffering, bleeding, dying in his people's room, place instead, and laid in the tomb, but then the resurrection. He rose triumphant o'er the grave, and he's ascended up on high, and we look to him. We look to that one who sitteth on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. The cherubims overshadowing the mercy seat. We look to that one, the Son of God. Dying sinner, look and live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, God's servants, they have to know themselves as guilty, unworthy, how deserving sinners. But they know in that way personally their great need of Christ. And he, the dear Holy Son of God, is made so completely, fully precious to them, more precious far than life and all its comforts are. I hope I can testify that, friends, that Christ, the Son of God, my Saviour, my elder brother, is born for adversity to suffer, bleed and die in my room, place and stead. He is my all in all. He is my best beloved. And my heart is full of desire and exercise that God would so bless every one of you, if it be his will, to make him so precious to you. And there are some of you, I must say, I believe there are some of you he's made himself so very precious to you. Yes, and I can say, as I make this point pointedly to you, there are those of you who can't deny it. He is precious to you. He is your only hope. He is your only hope in time and for eternity. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. You may fix my hope upon. And are you willing? They'll make you willing, I believe. His track I see. And I'll pursue the narrow way. Till him I view. And that means him I view in glory when I get home to be with him, which is far better. Do you see his track? By faith. Do you see him, your Lord, gone before you? Oh, is he so favouring you to so know he's done all for you? Is he so leading you? Friends, I want to lift him up. I am burdened for this. The dear pastor has many years been the leader of our denomination. One of his dear deacons who's been home in glory for, as we would say, many years now, always used to say to him, speak well of him. Speak well of him. I believe by grace I can, friends, as God enables me. He's our dear Redeemer. He's our Lord, our Saviour, our Redeemer. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, praying to him, praying that he might come. Are you praying that he might come? Come to our aid. Pronounce the word, bid our corruptions end. How can they end? Only by his holy blood applied to us, his blotting out our corruptions, his appearing for us that we might know his wonderful redemption, that he has paid the price for sin, for our sins, redeemed us, blotted our sins out by his holy blood shed, and the Spirit applying it to us, to our hearts and consciences. We lift up a precious Christ. Oh, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, that what he has accomplished on earth is complete, full salvation's in it for the vilest of sinners. Oh, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up in the ministry of the word. If we are to have, as we do have in our churches, the ministry of the word, the preaching of Christ, it must be that the Son of Man is lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It must be so according to the will of God, according to God's way of salvation, according to the purposes, God's purposes of love and mercy, the Son of Man must be lifted up. But let me tell you what is important too, and what will be important in that, in the lifting up of the Son of Man, in the preaching of the gospel. This is important, that sinners may be laid low, that sinners may be, as God leads the servant of God to preach, they might lay the sinner low. It's those of you whom God is working in to lay you low that will really need to look to Christ. And you see, of course, it dovetails in the reality of being afflicted and serpent bitten and feeling it, and knowing that awful venom being in us. Oh, here we are. Think of the characters. I hope to read perhaps this evening in Matthew's Gospel, one of the chapters there, which is quite a long chapter with so many things that are recorded of how the Lord dealt with cases. And in all those cases, sin is the root cause of the woe, of the trouble. And it was so that he performed those miracles that are recorded. There's a number of them. And he saved those characters from the state of sin and the fruits of sin. He healed those that were in sickness. So much to agree, as it is in the reality of its sin sickness. Oh, those that were maimed, oh, by Satan. Those that had not got sight, couldn't see, but God made them see and know what they were. And he opened their eyes to see the Saviour. Oh, there are a number, so many, and all the cases, all the things of the troubles and sorrows of God's people who are by the Spirit in God's purpose brought at God's appointed time to know their concern and their malady, their guilt. As they are rooted to it, sins demerit and gladly own salvation free, from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. Christ is lifted up. How he was lifted up, as the people reported how he'd performed miracles. He was lifted up, this wonderful man that's come. They didn't really know who he was, but they realised as afterwards, and some testified truly, this man is the Son of God. And how the wonderful evidence of it was spread abroad, what he could do, the wonders God, the Son of God, could do. Oh, it's friends for us today, the wonders God alone can do in and through Jesus Christ, the Spirit testifying of Christ, the will of the Father fulfilled, that God's people should believe in his dear beloved Son. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ is that one able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Yes, the very worst of sinners who upon his grace rely. Now, are you relying on him? Are you going to him? Are you going to God in prayer, pleading the precious name of Jesus? Is your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? You see, it was his blood, his holy divine blood, the blood of God, that God had appointed must be shed in Gethsemane and Calvary. All the blood of bulls and goats could never make the comers to those sacrifices and to the altars perfect. O Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. God's atonement, God's divine atonement, was in covenant agreed in the Trinity. It must be Christ's blood shed. And he came so willingly. According to the will of God, he came, gave his own life a ransom, paid the ransom price. The price is holy heart's blood for the redemption of the church. Now, friends, is this what is most important to you in your exercise? To know and have the favour of an interest in the Saviour's blood. We had a dear servant of God preaching to us Tuesday, and he was much help to preach. And when we came out, as he had been preaching regarding the blood of Christ and the wonderful way of God in salvation, I felt, I must say to him, it seemed to just flow out of my heart, the theme of it, what mighty Son. Paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, and has my soul at freedom set, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Friends, he was lifted up, crucified. His holy blood ran from those wounds in his dear hands, his dear feet. Remember too, his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane. They'd thrust upon his head, as it were, that awful crown of thorns. They had lashed his holy back with that cruel Roman scourge. Oh, friends, his holy blood ran from all those wounds. Oh, then, after he lay down his life, the soldier pierced his side. When he had cried, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. And remembering this, friends, his own words, the words of the Holy Son of God, the Lamb of God, were, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again regarding his life. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, speaking of himself, saying, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. It wasn't in that clear sense. It wasn't actually the wounds that killed him. He laid down his life, but the wounds were, oh, that way, according to the will of God, that his holy blood should run from hands and feet and side. The blood of atonement, God's divine atonement, first sin, the sins of the whole church. Now, what you and I need, friends, is the application of Christ's holy, precious blood to our hearts and consciences. No natural man or dead professor of religion or any minister of the gospel who has not known it by experience and hasn't been anointed by the Spirit can understand this. That God's salvation is by divine substitution. And in all of that, the fullness of it, the purpose of it, God's purpose is to bless his people, to receive the atonement, to receive it by application, by the application of the Spirit. And the application of the Spirit is by God granting that measure of faith that so gives the poor child of God, guilty poor sinner as they are and feel, gives them the favour to believe, to receive a full remission of their sins and forevermore. Oh, the application by faith of the precious blood of Christ, by the Spirit of God. The Spirit takes the blood and applies it. And God's way of applying is by granting that measure of faith sufficient to grant the child of God to believe they have this application. God has done it. God has applied it. God has accomplished it. The sinner is blessed with that application, receives the atonement. As the favour to believe that Christ's blood was shed for me, that he paid the price for me, he paid that great price. Mighty Son paid all my debt. It's that paying the bill for redemption, redemption by price paid. The buying back of the child of God, all of them have sold themselves away from God. They have accrued a debt of sin to God that they cannot pay for it. Oh, they're poor insolvents. But the Lord favours them to see that Christ has paid all their debt. We want to lift up the Son of God in this way before you, friends. I trust we have lifted him up a little. I would lift him up more. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now I want to pursue, as it were, another angle. You have here and have had for many, many years, the deacons who have been concerned and exercised to our servants of God to come, who I hope we can say, though I feel to be poor among them, I hope we can say, as they have had the purpose to ask God's servants to come, those who, under God, have exercised to lift up a precious Christ. And so it can be said, friends, for many years, Christ has been lifted up in this cause of truth. There is another scripture. I think it's John 12. It's in. He will draw all men unto him. That means all those important to God, all those he has purpose to bless, he will draw them. They'll come to him. They'll come to the cross, to the foot of the cross. They'll see him there. They'll see and believe by faith. And oh, he must be lifted up. He must be lifted up by the child of God who is blessed. God's purpose is that the child of God who is blessed and receives that wonderful atonement, that remission of sin, they are in God's perfect will and purpose to lift up Christ. Not as much as in the same way, perhaps, as God's servants. But you know God's purpose in all his will is to form a people for his praise. Now here this morning, according to the will of God, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, ministers feel to come short of this, but we would humbly, carefully, lovingly bring a question. Are you content? And that, this sad contentment will be, as it were, seated in your old nature. Are you content to go along not lifting up, not testifying, not speaking of what Christ has done for you? Have you not got in your new heart a desire to speak well of him, like I said? Dear Deacon used to say to our dear friend, he has said it to me a lot of times, our dear friend has, speak well of him. Have you not got an exercise within you to speak well of him? The word, don't just think this word is, it is of course, much in great importance for the servants of God to lift up a precious Christ in the preaching of the gospel. And let us not just think it's for ministers. He must be lifted up, friends. God's people must begin on earth to praise him, to glorify him, to speak of him, to testify of him. This is the will of God. You know, it's solemn. If we're not brought to so humbly attend to this, if we're content to just go on, just being, as it were, like Nicodemus was, we know much was done in him, we believe, between the time of when the Lord was speaking to him and when Christ had suffered, bled and died on the cross, for then he came out. He came out then and he did that which was needful with Joseph of Arimathea to lay the precious body of Christ in the grave, in the tomb. Those secret disciples, friends, the time did come when they went to the tomb, took Christ and laid him there. And then with amazement, as many were afterwards, they went to the empty tomb. Oh, friends, you know what it all means. If God is teaching you, if God is dealing with you, if God has blessed you, if God has favoured you, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up in praise, honour and glory. And not just with words, but God's people to be, by the grace of God, doers of the word and not hearers only. There are solemn words of warning to those who are doers of the word, who are hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, friends, I hope we can meditate upon it, ponder it over more in the interval. Trust God will help one to go down to Braintree to preach a few things to the friends there. The friends there are a servant of God all day next year, so perhaps if I'm spared next year, I may be able to speak to the Sunday school, you dear young people. The things we have preached this morning are very high and so holy, the things we preach, you dear young people, I hope. I pray the dear Lord will lead you into them in his time. I have felt much humble amazement. I think I mentioned to you in past time, I'll come reading the letters the young people wrote to me. a long time ago, about 26 years ago, some of you who wrote to me regarding the Sunday school address, especially that one on the harvest, the Lord's blessed you, one and another is blessed, favour. Oh, the favour of following the Lord in his ordinances, in his ways. The Lord knows all what is in my heart for every one of you dear young people. And for all of you friends, oh, that as the favour is continued here, Christ be lifted up. May you know his drawing. May you know this wonderful confirming that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £675, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pack will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 204. Self-righteous souls on works rely and boast their moral dignity. But if I lisp a song of praise, each note shall echo grace, free grace. Hymn 204.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything they have seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.